So as Pastor Tom gave a great intro to this message this morning, we are in a series called Rooted, Foundations for Kingdom Living. And what we're doing is we're looking at these foundations for kingdom living, and we're going to be covering these over the next coming months. And what we're looking at, we've already covered understanding God's love for you. That is number one, is understanding how much God loves you. And that's different. That's different from how much you love God. Truthfully, the Bible teaches us that we actually love God according to the love that we have received from Him. You understand that God is love, and that true love only can come from God. You cannot manufacture love. And we've all experienced human love, and what an utter failure that is. Human love is self-centeredness. It's about you do good for me, and then I will do good back to you. It's based on fulfilling a need in my life, then I love you. But if you stop fulfilling that need in my life, then the love turns off. But God's love simply loves, period. We have nothing that we can, we already covered that. If you want to listen, go back and listen to the messages. They're free. But understanding God's love for you, it's so important. Understanding your spiritual makeup, that's what we're in right now. We're going to look at understanding how God sees you, and then understanding your identity in Christ, and then understanding the true nature of God. A lot of people, relationship with God is based on a lie. They don't really see God as how He has revealed Himself. We'll get there. And then understanding your spiritual authority. As children of God, we need to understand how God recreated us in Christ Jesus and how He intended us to function in a world that is still under the bondage of sin. Do you know that? This world is still under the bondage of sin. Do you know this world has been purchased by Jesus, but it hasn't been redeemed yet? Do you know that there's a time when He's going to make the world new? There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. And this world is still under sin, and sin can even affect a believer. It can cause a believer to suffer if they focus on the flesh and put themselves back under that bondage. It doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean that you lost your salvation. But we can suffer in this earth by sin. For God intended us to live by grace through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Holy Spirit, the teacher, that He is here and He's leading us and guiding us into all truth. We thank You that You are revealing to us the mystery hidden in God, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Heavenly Father, reveal Your nature in us this morning. Reveal how we are to live in this world, and help us by Your grace to be empowered to live well, to represent the kingdom well. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We've discussed this, but we got to repeat it over and over again until we get it, that you are a triune being. You are a spirit, You have a soul that lives in a body. A lot of people think that you're a spirit or in your body. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we were created like God. In the image of God, we were created like Him. God was a triune being. And we are a triune being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Our soul, we understand our soul. You can be affected in your soul. I can affect you this morning in your soul. I can say something very edifying and lifting up, and you can feel that in your emotions, in your mind, in your soul. Or I could say something very hurtful and degrading, and that too can be felt. Your flesh, you can feel in your flesh, right? Stub your little toe and tell me you can't feel in your flesh. But you can't feel in your spirit. You're unable to feel in your spirit. And you are a spirit that has a soul. Your soul is made up of your mind, will, emotions, your consciousness, your conscience. And your body is your meat suit. That's what causes you to be able to live here on earth. We are three in one, and God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says, Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. This is an amazing scripture. It says that you are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. And the Holy Spirit lives in you. Since then, glorify God with your body. Do you know that you can have the Holy Spirit living in you? You can be the temple of the Holy Spirit and not glorify God with your body? This is a choice that you have to make. It's about seeing yourself, your identity. That I am united, baptized, welded with God. God lives in me. And since God lives in me, then my flesh ought to represent that. And you know about types and shadows in the Old Testament, right? The Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is Christ revealed, right? And everything in the Old Testament were types and shadows. And in the Old Testament, you had the tabernacle and you had the temple. And so many people think, oh, how amazing that would be. How amazing that would be to go back and be able to walk right in to the presence of God. That was God's dwelling place. But that's not what God wanted. God did not want to dwell in a building made by man. He wanted a temple whose hands were not created by man. You are that temple. Do you understand that? And it's interesting that if you look at the design that God gave the Israelites for the tabernacle, for the temple, it's three parts. You had the outer court, you had the holy place, and you had the holy of holies, the most holy place. You are a spirit, the Holy of Holies. You have a soul, the holy place. And you are a body, in a body, the outer court. Isn't that amazing? It's all types and shadows. And last week we took a little test to see if we were spiritually minded or not last week, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we took a little test at the end to see if we were spiritually minded. And I don't want to say that we failed the test, but it did reveal how unspiritual we are in our thinking, right? In how we see ourselves, in our identities. The test went a little like this. We asked, has anybody walked on water? Yes. John said yes when the lake was frozen. We said, has anybody healed the multitudes? Has anybody raised the dead? Has anybody calmed the storms? Now, leading up to this, we repeated over and over again that the same Spirit, we are one Spirit with Christ. Your Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So you, in the Spirit, have done all those things. If you are one Spirit with Him. But we look to our flesh. We look to what we've done in the natural man. We judge ourselves according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. And that's how it works with everything in our life. I mean, I intentionally pick big things like that. But how about when we just say the phrase, are you righteous? Are you holy? And you look to your flesh and, I'm getting ahead of myself, and you look to your flesh and you say, well, I've treated my wife pretty good this week. I read my Bible one day out of seven. I prayed when I got in that pinch. I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty righteous this week. We do that. Even though we know better. If you've been at Charis, you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is not by works that we have done, but it has been by the work, the one and only work of Christ. And that affects your prayer life. That affects your faith. And the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. How are we to know one another? According to the flesh? Do you know you can never be angry at another brother or sister in Christ? You want to know why? Because you're not supposed to know them according to their flesh. You're supposed to know them according to who they are in the Spirit. Their identity in Christ. When we are angry at one another, it's because we are judging one another according to the flesh. How are we to know Christ? According to the flesh. See, what they were saying, is these people that Paul wrote this to, there was a chance that they'd seen Christ, that they knew him according to the flesh. And he's saying, even though Christ came in the flesh, even though you might have known him in the flesh, you are not to know him that way any longer. You are to know him as the resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that conquered death, sin, and the grave. If anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation. Old things have what? They have passed away. What old things passed away? New things have come. What new things have come? If they have come, why do you still look the way that you look? Right? If all things are new, why do you look the way that you look? still have wrinkles, still have bulges that aren't supposed to be where bulges are. Challenged in the hair area. Why do you think the same way? If all things have become new, why do I have this stinking thinking? Why do I feel condemned? Why do I feel shame? Here's the answer. This is going to shock you. The answer is that you have not been completely redeemed. Do you know that? It is your spirit. It is your spirit that has been saved or redeemed. Just like we talked about the earth. The earth has been purchased, but it has not been redeemed. Your body has not been saved or redeemed. If it was, you'd have a glorified body. Wouldn't that be cool? Jesus' glorified body was crazy. He walks through a door. The disciples are scared. They're in this room and they're hiding out. And he walks through the door and says, "Peace be with you." And then he sits down and has some fish and some honey and he's eating. How does that work? I've thought about this. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is that in the spiritual realm, you can move so fast that, do you know that everything is moving? Do you know that there's space in between this lectern here? That it's all little particles moving? We can't see them, but they're all moving. And in the spirit realm, this is what I'm thinking. I could be really off. But you, in the spirit realm, you can move so fast that you can move between those spaces in the physical realm. But then you can slow down, kick back and have some tuna and some honey. That's amazing. Your body hasn't been redeemed. Your soul has not been saved. It hasn't been redeemed. Because if it was, it'd be totally renewed. Look at the following here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, this is an amplified version. It says, that spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge and foretaste, the down payment on our heritage. In anticipation of its full redemption, and are acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know what this is saying? That the spirit that was recreated in you is the promise to our future redemption of our mind, our soul, and our bodies. It's the down payment of what is to come. Look what it continues to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, he has also appropriated and acknowledged us as his by putting his seal upon us and giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as a security deposit and guarantee of the fulfillment of the promise. Do you know that when Jesus returns, and he redeems everything, makes all things new. Do you know that you won't have to live by faith any longer? Because your faith will have become sight. Your faith will have become sight. You will think the way that Jesus thinks. Your body will be glorified and renewed just like Jesus is. But we're not there yet. So we must learn how to live here on earth. We must understand our spiritual makeup so we can live the kingdom out here in this fallen earth. This is going to answer so many things for you. It's your spirit that has been saved. The definition of redeemed is to gain or regain possession of something. Your body and soul has been purchased, but it has not been redeemed. It's only your spirit that has been redeemed. Your spirit is the only thing that is one with God. It's kind of like a gift card. You know, that's what kids love now at Christmas time and birthdays and all that stuff. Get me a gift card. Only thing better is cash. But the thing is, they don't want the gift card. Right? The gift card is just, it's saying that there's been a purchase, there's been a payment, there's been something done. They want to take that gift card and they want to go to the store and redeem it for the possession. The only place that you have been 100% redeemed and saved is in your spirit. And that's the only place that you can know God. You can't know God through your flesh or your soul. Do you know what it's called when men and women attempt to know God through their flesh, through the physical actions and body and through the mind? Do you know what that's called? It's called religion. It's called religion. Jesus put it this way. John 4:23. But an hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. You only can truly worship God with your spirit. In John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You can only experience God through your spirit. Your flesh is unable to discern spiritual things. You know that? But Chad, I've been in services, and I felt the Spirit. The Spirit was moving. No, you felt faith. Faith is a substance of things not seen. You know you can feel the Spirit whenever you want? You know how you just feel the Spirit whenever you want? By faith. But Chad, I felt somebody. Someone came up and prayed for me, and I felt electricity go into my body, and it just felt like liquid honey was coming all over me. I felt the Spirit move. No, you felt the anointing. You felt the anointing. You felt the gifts of the Spirit working through another individual in your life. The flesh cannot discern spiritual things. You know, it's interesting that they were able to take handkerchiefs from the Apostle Paul filled with the anointing and it would heal people. See, the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. You cannot glorify God in your flesh. Without it being controlled by your spirit. That's why you must be born again. That's why you must be a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, we must start seeing ourselves in our true identity. We must start seeing ourselves in the spirit. You are a spirit. And there is a spiritual world all around us that we can't see with our physical eyes. There are angels, there are demons in this room right now. How's your head? I don't believe that. That's crazy talk. Well, You're lying to yourself. There's lots of things you can't see. Even in the natural, the things that you can't see. Right? Have you ever seen an atom? Most of us in here has never seen an atom. We didn't even know that atoms existed. How about pollen? You don't see pollen floating around there, but pollen can have an extreme effect on you physically, can it? How about germs and viruses? Germs and viruses. There was a time when we didn't believe that they were exist. You don't wash your hands before you eat. Something that we could not see, but that existed, nonetheless, it was devastating to humanity. This room is filled with TV, radio, cell, Wi-Fi signals just floating around in this room. You can't see them. But if I was to pull up my laptop and log on or tune in a radio or a television, you could see it. Jesus kind of said it this way. He says, you know, the spirit is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. Nonetheless, it's there. And there is a spiritual realm. There's a spiritual realm all around us. We're just too dumb to see it. You remember Elisha was surrounded by the Syrian army? And his right-hand guy was terrified, and Elisha prayed that the young man's eyes would be open, because he says, there are more on our side than on their side. And his eyes were open, and he's seen chariots of fire surrounding the Syrian army. And God striked them all blind, and he led them captive to the... Man, that's awesome. Man, he was in the Old Testament. There's a spiritual realm all around us. So if we can't see it, how can we know about it and who we are in it? By looking at a reflection. By looking at a reflection. Do you know that you've never seen yourself? You've never, ever seen yourself. All you've seen is a reflection of yourself. I mean, my kids have these apps on their phone. There's some bad pictures, not bad pictures, but some pictures of me out there that I wish I could get back, where it changes your face, you know, gives you dog ears, dog nose, tongue, all that stuff. How do you know that's not the real you? I mean, we've never seen yourself. We trust what we see in the mirror so much that we actually look in the mirror before we go out in public to make sure that we look okay. At least most of us do. And do you know that we have a spiritual mirror that you can trust just as much as a physical mirror? In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgot what kind of person he was. And right now, you hear doer of the word and all that, and you start thinking of your checklist of to-dos. No, doer means just the way you live. He's saying there's people that hear the word about who they are, but they don't live according to how they heard. That they are righteous, that they are holy, that they have the same spirit living in them that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That they are filled with joy and peace and gentleness and faithfulness. That they have the gifts of the Spirit working and moving within them. That we are not just mere men, that we are not just mere women in this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, "For we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." That's talking about that day, that redemption. That there's coming a day that right now we're looking through a glass dimly. But one day we will be known just as God has always known us. We will know just like He knows. That's amazing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." So how are we transformed? Through the Spirit. Do you know that you can redeem your flesh and your soul here on earth? How? By renewing your mind. I'm getting ahead of myself. By faith. The Word of God is spiritual. The Word of God is spiritual, it's living, it's powerful. It not only has the power to reveal who you are in the Spirit, but it has the power to transform us into the very image of Jesus completely. It did it when you were born again. And your spirit, will not ever, not ever, it won't ever be any more like Jesus than it is right now. Your spirit will never be more like Jesus than it is right now. And by looking at that mirror, that reflection of who we are in the Spirit, who God, we can have our soul, we can have our body transformed. The Word of God is a mirror in which we see our true reflection, our true identity. That is why the renewing of the mind is so vital in the kingdom. Doing pretty good, huh? So I needed some volunteers. Isaac and Mark, you can come up here. I can make fun of you guys. No. Come on up here. All right. Mark, you stand right here. You're going to be the flesh. You're going to be the Spirit. Okay? As we've seen last week, your spirit is not surprised by anything. Your spirit isn't surprised by anything, but it's complete in God. Your spirit has raised the dead. Your spirit has raised Christ from the dead. Your spirit has created worlds. If you are one spirit with Him, do you know what one means? Singular. If you have one, if you're one spirit with Him, your spirit is from everlasting to everlasting. That's amazing to think. It takes faith. Your spirit has already done all that before. So when you lay hands on the sick, if you're looking to your spirit's saying, "No big deal. I've done that, been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt." Your spirit is one with Christ, with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, in the Amplified Version again, "See to it that no one carries you off as spoil." You guys good? "See that no one carries off as spoil or makes yourself captive by so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world." This is so important. "Just crude notions following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ, the Messiah. Do you know? He's saying that what man knows about the cosmos, about the universes, about all that stuff, about mathematics, all that stuff I failed out in school. It says it is nothing compared to knowing the mysteries of Christ. Colossians 2:9, for in him the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression to his divine nature. What's this saying? It says that in Christ, the complete Godhead was in Christ Jesus. See, that's why you can't say that God killed Jesus. This is a rabbit trail. But a lot of people think that God sent his son and God killed Jesus. No, it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. We don't have an evil heavenly father in a good Jesus. We don't have a heavenly father that wanted to kill you, but Jesus stepped in and says, no, I'll take their place. No, they are one. And the whole Trinity finds its bodily expression through Jesus Christ. That's amazing. And look at this. And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. You're a spiritual giant. You don't even know it. But not in your minds, not in your soul, not in your flesh. Where? In your spirit. In your spirit, if you believe the word of God, you are filled with the Godhead. And now you understand what I was talking about when I was talking about how to understand that the mystery and the grace and who God is as big as the oceans. And we've only explored 95% of the oceans, and the oceans cover 75% of the planet. But here's the crazy thing about it, is that although God is as big as the oceans, and we're just a bottle floating in that ocean, that entire ocean is in the bottle. That's amazing. And he is the head of all rule and authority, every angelic principality and power. So in case you get inflated and big head, the only reason that you're filled, we are one with the divine, but we are not divine. You understand that? Jesus is Lord. You can't be more filled with God in your spirit right now than you are right now. But how do we get what is in our spirit to manifest in the natural? Oh, you guys are still up here. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Don't worry, we're going to get to the flesh and the spirit here in just a second. Romans 8, 5 says, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. So are you of the flesh or are you of the Spirit this morning? What do you set your mind on? What do you set your mind on? Salvation. In the Spirit, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Right? But in the flesh, if I'm a new creation, why did I just sin? Why do I continue to do what I know is wrong? I must not be saved. I need to do something. I need to do something to fix what's wrong with me. What do you set your mind on? I feel depressed. The flesh, nothing ever goes right in my life. It's hopeless. Nobody really cares about me. I feel bad all the time. But the Spirit says, I have the Spirit of joy within me. I am loved by God, full of his love and his peace. I have a blessed hope, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. What do you set your mind on? Do you see how this works out in everyday health? You're in the spirit. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus bore my sickness. He's carried my carried my diseases, and by his stripes I am healed. And as soon as you say that, what do you do? Because this is truth, right? This is truth to you. So this is absolute truth. No higher truth than what the Word of God says about your health, right? So since this is absolute truth, do we just leave it there? No, we look over to the flesh. Well, I still feel pain. I'm still hurting. The lump is still there. I must not be healed. Anger. That person makes me so mad. You know how stupid that sounds? No one can make you mad. Nobody can make you mad. Why are you so mad? You're not. Okay, that's good. If they do that one more time, I'm going to explode. But in the spirit, I'm filled with the spirit of peace and gentleness. I'm secure in Jesus, and I don't care what man thinks about me. Their actions do not define me, and I choose who I am in this moment. Provision. My Heavenly Father is my provider, and he cares for me. He generously dwells in me. His generosity dwells in me, and I am a sower, and I shall reap. I am a giver, and I am a receiver. He has blessed the work of my hands, and all that I do shall prosper. But in the flesh, I'll never get ahead. I can't afford to be generous. I need to take care of me. All they want is my money. No sense of even looking for a job. I'll never get hired. My grandparents were poor. My parents were poor. I'll always be poor. You don't receive any of this, do you? Greed. The flesh. When I finally get this car, that house, when I finally make this certain amount of money, then I will be happy. Oh my goodness, what a lie. I will step on anyone I need to get what I deserve. The Spirit. I know how to go without, and I know how to have plenty. My fulfillment does not come from stuff, but from God. Stuff is to be used, and people are to be loved. What do we set our minds on? We could keep on going with multiple illustrations of this. Do you see how easy it is to parrot things that we hear on Sunday morning, but truly live our life through the flesh? Thank you, guys. I mean, just pick the issue of life. Pick an issue. Either you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh or of the spirit. Every temptation of the enemy is meant to distract you from understanding what you already possess in Christ Jesus, in the spirit. Temptations are just a distraction. Temptations are something just to get your mind off who you are in the spirit. When our soul agrees with the spirit, that is when you are believing with your whole heart. Remember Jesus says, when you believe with your whole heart. The spirit and soul makes up the heart of man. Your core. I'm not talking about your muscle that's pumping blood for your body. The heart of a book, the heart of a story, the heart of a tree. It's talking about the core, who you really are. And when your soul and your spirit come together in total agreement, that's when faith comes alive. When you let the flesh speak to you, when your flesh speaks to you and it speaks and you receive it as absolute truth, this is what causes our hearts to become callous and hardened to the things of God. Renewing your mind to who you are in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit will empower you to deal with the enemy from a point of victory and not from trying to get victory. That's huge. Understanding who you are in the Spirit right now is a place of victory. Over and over again, we hear believers talking about trying to get the victory. It will cause you not to live in regret, shame, condemnation of your past. You will stand up quickly. The Bible says that you will come boldly into the throne room of grace and receive grace and mercy in your time of need, in your time of failure. Not run and hide in the bushes like Adam and Eve. When you stumble, when you make mistakes based on the revelation of who you are in the Spirit, you will stand up quickly. You begin to walk in your supernatural abilities and in the supernatural call of God in your life when you understand, when you start seeing yourself who you are in the Spirit. Can you understand? Can you see how understanding who your spiritual makeup, how key this is to kingdom living? Do you see how subtle the flesh is and how we need to take every thought captive into obedience according to the knowledge of Christ? See, the problem is the flesh is you. And you know you. But the soul is, or the spirit is you. And you need to get to know you. This new creation in Christ Jesus. Next week, we cover a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to unpack. There's a lot of stuff you got to think. We've got these scriptures in the back of the, on the back table back there. All these scriptures are on scriptures about your spiritual makeup. If you want one, take them. They're in back. But this is something that we all have to participate in and getting acquainted with who you are in Christ Jesus. And we covered a lot of stuff, but we're not going to stop here. Next week, we're going to continue to build on this foundation, and it's going to be good. But understanding this is key to, you know, you hear scriptures. You hear, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You know, as he is, speaking of Jesus, so are you in this world. And then you go and look in the mirror and say, this is how Jesus is? You just get in a fight with your wife. You just yell at your kids. You just kick the cat. And you say, this is how Jesus is? The Bible is so hard to understand. No. In your spirit. And by appropriating what God has done in your spirit by faith, you can see that glory be manifested in the way that you think and in the way that you act. Do you see how it's not right doing leads to being good? It's right believing leads to doing good. Let's pray.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.